Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
It's a big week when RHAP is on the road in Chicago. Check out my live show from Chicago. That's going to be up on Thursday, Wednesday night. Shannon Gus is going to be live with you with Kelly Wentworth after Survivor. And we preview the Dondi finale with Deal or No Deal Island host Joe Manganiello, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Purple Pants Podcast coverage of Real Housewives of Potomac, episode 358, Fool's Gold. I serve as your humble and also gracious host, Bryce Isaiah, and I thank you so much for tuning in to this week's recap. If you could be so kind to ensure you are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast, we are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you can find podcasts. The Purple Pants Podcast awaits for you to subscribe. And as always, with your Real Housewives of Potomac coverage, you can watch this audio podcast in video. Just head over to the Bryce Isaiah YouTube channel, click subscribe, give this video a thumbs up, and let us know in the comments what you think about this episode. I am back this week, joined by my cocky aunt sister, Dr. Jatia Hart-Taylor, and we are talking all things Potomac Season 8, Episode 15. We are getting down to the nitty-gritty about why Karen needs a personal trainer. We are talking Ashley's divorce settlement. We are getting down to the bottom of Wendy and Candace's faces they are making when Giselle was talking about her kids and so much more. So listen, let's get into this week's Potomac recap.
It's a man who, it's a man you, meat and potatoes like we cooking up a great stew. It's a man who, it's a man you, meat and potatoes like we cooking up a great stew.
Welcome back, welcome back.
Hello.
We are back covering Real Housewives of Potomac Season 8, Episode 15. I am joined by Dr.
Right.
Jatia Hart-Taylor. What's up?
Nothing much. Yes, this is the Triple Five episode of Season 8, and we are here to get straight into it.
Yes, we are recording right after the episode. Dr. Jatia just put her children to sleep. So if we have on our nighttime,
our sexy voices, it's
our
because
quiet voice.
We don't want neither child to come up in here. So, yes, we are trying to you know, just like you watch it. I know the mommies be watching it, you know, with the subtitles on. So everybody don't hear all the fussing and fighting. That's how I was doing it tonight. But we come into you We're still in the Dominican Republic, so I hope you guys are not too bothered by the heat. But it is hot. We are with the cast, and we are here jumping in back on day two of the trip.
Because I'm just trying to figure out what was the conversation being had when I walked up on you.
Correct. Okay. So we're on the beach, and last episode, they just left us off right there on the cliff, on the precipice, right? And Miss Wendy slinks on over, and she hears, you know, some chitter-chatter going on, and she's like, hey, what are you guys, what is the conversation that is being had? So that's what she wants to know. What's the conversation that's being had? And so we get
She asked Giselle directly, and so although I am a green-eyed bandit, these are the moments in which Giselle gets on my nerves. Anytime it's like confrontation, especially like at the reunions or head-to-head with anyone other than Karen, it seems like Giselle just
shuts down.
And it's like, no, sis, like, stand your ground, speak your piece.
Well, where's her bodyguard when you know, geez, like, to just, you know, block? That's just her thing. She don't like to engage like that. So finally, Robin, you know, takes her long stick out to stir the pot and to be very upfront and tell Wendy what they were talking about how she saw her and her buddy Candy Ice making faces when Giselle was talking about Sweet Grace.
And Wendy and Candace make it clear that they don't like Giselle, but when it comes to the children, they'll leave it out. Wendy even says that because Giselle has weaponized Grace against Wendy, and they flash back to when Giselle's driveway wasn't done. And that kind of sort of pissed me off a little bit because I'm like,
I want to ask you, did you think the look that Wendy gave Grace was fake?
I did. This is the reason why I say that, right? Like, I've been around your children. I've been around my other friends' children. And there is never a time, and there have been plenty of times, that I have been in your home, sitting on your couch, sitting in the guest bed, and Harry and Ashna have walked by, and I don't know what they got on, because, you know, Jatia gives their kids freedom to express themselves in any way, shape, or form. And never...
would you eyeball them up
would
and down?
I like it, just never. Now, mind you, if I didn't like you and I didn't like your kids and they walked by, I would give them that stank look. So it's like, let's just call a thing a thing. And so I just didn't like when Wendy was like, when you weaponized Grace against me. No, sis, she called you out.
Yeah, she did. She gave her a stank look. And also, if you think my child, something wrong with my child, just bring it up to me. Like, if you care that much and you got to eyeball her and be like, and you know, do all this 3D modeling of my child and what you got on or whatever. Yeah, she did. She gave her a thing. Look, what pushed it over for me was that I rewound that part a couple times and I looked at everybody else's face and then I looked at Wendy's and I was like, Wendy's face is distinctly different from what everybody else is doing. One of these things is not like the others.
Yeah. So that was that. And then, of course, you know, Candace said that, like, of course, she disdains Giselle and she has nothing to do with Giselle. But when it comes to kids, they leave it out of it. And so what I feel like in this confrontation, I really feel like Wendy and Candace got the best of Giselle because they spoke their piece. I feel like Giselle not speaking her piece, it was a little frustrating. And then, of course, in Giselle's confessional, she says she's upset with Karen because Karen
didn't come to her defense. Like she felt like Karen should have come to her defense, especially. I can see what she's saying about, especially because of the relationship that, you know, Raven and Grace have had and kind of this camaraderie they've had and putting them together before Grace went off to college and all that sort of thing. But then again, yeah, Giselle, you're a grown woman. So
speak your piece. However, I do feel like I don't feel like Giselle's message to Karen was have my back. I think Giselle's message to Karen was, if you want to be the grand dame, if you want to be friends with everybody, then draw the line and say, hey, I don't know if they've made negative.
Call somebody out when they're wrong. Basically, that's what she's saying. Like, okay, you were always talking about how marriages are off limits and how children, then why don't you step up and say, you know, children are off limits. No, you just let them yada, yada, yada. And your comeback for me is like, oh, it's your problem. You need to deal with it. That's not very ground down life.
Not at all. And so then we learned that Ashley had a birthday over the summer, Havana Nights. But if y'all remember back in the summertime when the air quality was bad, it was definitely bad in Philadelphia, it was bad in Potomac. So they canceled Ashley's dinner last summer.
Right. And so it was not a hazy Havana night. So they just said, you know, for out of abundance of caution, we're going to, you know, cancel it. But I love that they packed their hoochie outfits and wore them to dinner. And in the words of Giselle, it was what, Havana night?
I like Giselle's outfit now.
Again, I thought it was cute, actually. Me too. I give her the credit.
Right. I don't normally give her outfit credits, but I will defend her when they say she don't have no style. But I really did appreciate her style. I thought.
A lot of the other outfits.
So I liked a lot of the other outfits. I didn't like Wendy's outfit. I felt like and the head wrap. And I saw what Wendy is going for. Now, mind you, y'all can say what y'all want about how I feel about Wendy, but 9 times out of 10, I give Wendy her fashion styles. But the Havana night birthday outfit
was a bust.
It wasn't doing it for me. And so we're all sitting down to dinner and Karen brings up, you know, Karen wants to stir the pot. And Karen says, like, you know, she didn't really like the way that Robin and Candace left things off. And is there a path to somehow getting on the same page? Robin essentially says,
no.
Right. No. Like, she attacks me. She says that I was a part of some mastermind plot to take down her husband, to hide the infidelity of my husband. But if that is the truth, then why last season would I be coming to her defense? Cues Bravo, showing the multiple times that Robin has stood up for Candace in front of her and behind her. And Robin says, essentially, if I knew that this was the position that Candace would take, I wish I never stood up for her.
Yes. And also, Candace had opportunity to dial it back. And what did she do? Like she does, double down on her mess. So like they could move forward if Candace would just have some sort of accountability, which is funny because then Candace, you know, they always flash back to her standing up, you know, Robin standing up saying, hold me accountable, which I think is really interesting because I don't know, like, what do you want for her? She is not going to own up to it. But there is no path forward. The door is closed on that one, solidly.
The door is closed. Then the next day, we're getting ready to go out for another excursion, and Giselle calls Karen to the pool to again talk about this, you not standing up for me, or like, if you want to play the middle, then play the middle, but like draw a line. And so for me, what this reminded me of was, I want to say maybe season 4 with Monique and Candace. Do you remember when they got into that physical altercation and Karen was kind of in the middle because Karen was like, you know, godmother to Candace and super good friend to Monique. And so it's like, it's interesting because this isn't the first time that Karen has been in a position like this where it's like she plays the middle and doesn't necessarily take a side. She's the fence.
Yeah.
But and her defense to the fence is, I'm the fence.
Well, yeah, I you know what? It was very interesting to me because this came up later that Mia called her out and was like, yeah, when you're around, you're not being neutral. You're not being the fence or being in the middle. You're actually meaner when Wendy and Candace are around it in the group. Like, you got to somehow kind of boss up. I agree with her.
I mean, I do agree, but I also feel like that's Housewife 101.
I don't know. Like, it seems to me that she is leaning towards Candace and Wendy and being on their side of things. So it's kind of interesting to me.
It is, because I feel like Karen's loyalty this season is with Candace and Wendy. However, Karen understands how the show works and how scenes work and how your contract is set up to be in the scene and who you film with. So it's like, you know, the Grand Dame will sit down with anybody. And, you know, I do appreciate that about Karen, is that she's willing to move forward.
She's willing to fight another day.
She might give you a handshake and not a hug, but she is
there. But she'll film with you.
So after after we go see castles, or after Giselle and Karen had that conversation, we go see like some castles in the DR, and then there is this lunch afterwards. And
I don't even know what to start with this lunch.
So I don't even really know how we got here, but
I don't know why we're here. I think we're lost. We're lost. We were supposed to be at the castle, and now we're here, and all kind of little tidbits.
And Karen is talking about this trainer that, you know, because
that is
of
not a trainer. So that is not what's funny. That is let's all remember this. This trainer is not a trainer. This trainer is an ex NFL, very fine, well put together football player named Vernon Davis. Okay. Hello. I remember him. He was hot when I remember Vernon Davis now. Okay. Hello, Vernon. So she's, you know, like trying to get in shape. You know, she has a 5% blockage in her carotid artery. And, you know, she needs to be healthier, even though she looks really good for triple 20. All of these thoughts just start, you know, just coming out at the table. And then this little linkage tidbit, she tells everybody who her trainer is. Yeah, right.
Not even tells everybody who her trainer is. She's got photos of him. Now yes, we know Karen like to screenshot a photo in her phone. You better ask Robin Dixon.
So we've come to find out that it's not a trainer, it is Vernon Davis. And everybody, and basically she is trying to brag. She's trying to name drop, and she tries to drop the name on Ashley's foot, and Ashley's like, oh yes, I know him.
I know him. Now, for me, what was so interesting about this scene is when the table starts questioning Ashley about how do you know Vernon, you know, she has to go to the bathroom. But if you've watched this scene or you're about to watch this episode, get into Karen's facial expressions during this time.
She was hurt. She was confused. She had so many emotions running through her face. It was just like, and then what I just loved about it is that Ashley actually knows him through Karen. She was like, yeah, I met him. And then I saw him again at Karen's party. So Karen out here, you know, running, you know, showing off her man meat. And actually, Ashley is maybe eating from that dish already. You know, they're at least sliding into each other's DMs on Insta. And so I just thought this was hilarious. And I also love that even though Ashley had to go back to the bathroom, the ladies were ready when she came back to pursue the same line of questioning. Like, no, the bathroom break is not going to get you out of this. So I thought that was the juiciest little tidbit that we got out of this episode. But so this conversation, we name drop, we find out some deets about this. Karen is upset, and I ate up. This was the best scene for me by far of the whole
And episode. Some of the ladies were trying to do the math on, you know, when we played the game last episode, and Ashley said that the last time that she had an intimate moment was a couple of months ago. They were trying to put all of the things together.
Look, like trying to figure out Mia's age. It was like one carry the two, you know, all of it.
Again, this Vernon thing is still in question mark. Candace and Robin are still in question mark. You know, all the issues are on the table, but, you know, that's essentially it. And then I guess some more excursions, a different day. We've got tennis, where it is Karen, Candace, Mia, and Wendy. And at the shooting range, we have Giselle, Robin, Ashley, NECA, and Kiarna. And Kiarna, you know, she might have been considered for a housewife, but she is just a friend of the show. But Kiarna clocked in this episode.
Correct. So she's like, and I'm working. Hello. Hi. This is the Kiarna show. So that whole little scene, like she was trying to give her an opinion, and she did give a very interesting at lunch.
Be clear though, right? Giselle asked Kiarna, like Kiarna just didn't volunteer information. Giselle asked Kiarna while they were shooting. Giselle was like, so you're Wendy's friend, like, do you feel like she's been warm to you guys? Do you like, what was the tea that Wendy was sharing with you about us? And I appreciated Kiarna because she didn't say Wendy said anything, right? She said
that, you know, she caught the shade.
She caught the shade, but catching the shade is different than being like, she said this, this, and this, 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 this about you. So it's like, I appreciated that. And so Kiarna's take on it was like, she caught the shade between Giselle and Wendy, not necessarily a big thing. What Kiarna felt was a bigger overarching issue was Wendy and NECA. Now, I was trying to figure out, did I miss something? Because I didn't feel like Kiarna said anything negative about Wendy or NECA. Like, I think
no,
the only thing
but NECA wanted her to shut the heck up. That's all it was. NECA wanted to have the last word. NECA is like, girl, you are newer than I am. So don't come in here trying to backtrack and recap so you can get some airtime. And basically, NECA wanted to have the last word. She wanted the little girl to shut up, and the girl wouldn't. So then they started bickering about stuff. And I was with Giselle. I don't even understand what y'all are like talking about. Let's move on. No, let's move on. Let's move on. So they were just back and forth trying to have the last word.
I was confused as to NECA's energy to Kiarna, because I felt like Kiarna was essentially saying, like, with NECA and Wendy, their beef is bigger than Giselle and Wendy because it's cultural differences. And NECA's energy to Kiarna for me was like, I didn't like it. Now, mind you, I'm not the biggest fan of Kiarna because we've only met her this episode. But for me, it just...
I appreciate that NECA was willing to man up a little bit, you know, because like she felt like the other girl was trying to threaten her or her position in some way. But I don't think she was. I don't think she was. But I like to see a little fight in NECA.
So do I. But I just, again, it just has me rethinking.
It wasn't
my,
aimed in the right place.
It wasn't. Think. Take your energy out somewhere else. I didn't love it. For me, this had me questioning a lot of like how I feel about NECA a little bit, because I just feel like this energy that you're throwing at this girl that for no reason, little weird.
You could have been throwing at somebody else who you had a reason, but you weren't.
It makes me feel like the energy that you're throwing at Wendy, right? Like, how much of it is unwarranted? You know what I mean? Like, I just felt like her barometer for Kiarna in this situation was like, girl, I was rocking with you.
I think she was off to come at Kiarna the way she did, you know, but everybody has a bad day. Because she surely don't be flapping jack like that at Wendy. She don't.
Well,
she don't
she did at the Grand Dame's pickleball.
I think she says
your mom's a witch and you're a bitch. I mean,
that's true now. So yeah, but anyway, so they finally do actually decide to move on. And then again, who comes up? Vernon. Hello. Hi, it's Vernon again. So we have a little combo about Ashley and Vernon, and you know, she admits to, you know, not much else. We flirt, we talk. Here's, you know, she showed them some of the DMs. She was scrolling. She didn't stop on any of them. She was scrolling. We didn't even see what the emojis. No eggplants. No, you know, kitty cat with wet drops. Nothing like that. We didn't see any of those things. Maybe not. So I thought it was very interesting that she was being vague. And again, they brought Vernon up. Vernon was like, I don't know why Vernon didn't get some money for this episode, because he was all over it. Like, I don't know. Maybe is he a guest star?
I want to work my inner thighs out too. So I might have to reach out to Vernon. The conversation back at tennis was when Mia was bringing up to the ladies. Again, Mia is clocking in this episode as well. Doesn't matter what group she is in, it's clearly that Mia can go from either side and still be Mia. She's asking the ladies what they think about Ashley and her not getting a divorce. And Mia is very adamant that she feels like Ashley may have married.
No, she says Ashley's a gold digger. That's the exact word she used. And I just thought it was very interesting because that came back to kick her right on in the booty, honey.
But it didn't though, because in true Mia fashion, she
owned up.
She owned it. But also while we were at tennis, we also learned that Mia may or may not have had clients.
Have a foot only fan,
or you know, men that have foot fetishes have, you know, paid to see Mia's.
Paid Mia to put her foot on their chest. I thought that was very specific. Thank you for painting that picture. No, not an only fans. You actually putting your foot in real life, IRL, on people's chest. So I thought that was like, I was like, you for sharing.
Yeah, I also thought it was very interesting. Like, as we are, I guess, getting ready for the last dinner, we get to see some of the ladies getting ready. Ashley is on the phone with Michael Darby and her children. And Michael is showing Ashley the kids. Ashley lets Michael know that, just FYI, we're filming. Michael's turned that camera. Boo. Listen, he, if you're
like,
watching,
he was like, new phone, who this? He was
listen, like, Michael Darby said, Ashley said, they're filming.
Yeah, I thought that was hilarious. I want no parts of that. None.
Ashley also shares with us that Michael has expressed to Ashley that he wants no part of filming. And if he is caught on film, he is going to sue Bravo. Now, we know his record and her. Now, I guess, but if he is suing her, that would be him suing himself. But, you know, his records with Bravo's lawsuits are Michael Darby, 0. Candace Bassett, 1. So, you know, he ain't that good with restaurants and he's not that good with lawsuits.
No, look, I have no comment because I don't want that smoke. I ain't trying to respond to no petition. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, okay. So he's trying to protect himself. He, you know, he has not had a good track record with this show. So I totally
not at all. I mean, every season he has been on, there's been some type of scandal, whether it is he would Juan Dixon's, whether it is him on Hidden Camera squeezing
or showing pictures of him in a hotel room
on Grindr. Oh girl, I remember that. Like, it's just been, or I feel like when we met Ashley first season, I felt like she was saying how her and Michael had an open relationship. I don't know, maybe I'm
she said that they used to, like, I guess swing. I don't know what the term, I have no idea what any of that is, but yeah, that they have arrangements, yada, some. And then now that she became a mother, she was, you know, didn't want to do those things anymore. So, you know, they had changed some of the dynamic in their relationship because it used to be cool, but it ain't cool now. So what is interesting about this is that now we are back at lunch. These ladies have to eat.
It's,
you know,
dinner, the final dinner, not lunch. Yeah.
Sorry.
That's all DR been, is activity and eating.
Right. So these ladies, you know, have to keep their energy up. So they're at the final dinner. Somebody's getting engaged. All of the ladies are looking, you know, quite lovely, and they're sitting down. And then what comes out is basically that Mia called Ashley a gold digger. And I thought it was so
Wendy brought it to the table.
Oh my gosh. Like, I mean, no.
Wendy clapped in.
No warning, no nothing. Just feel all the girl like, dang, nothing I say is private, is it? No. And I will say that to Mia's great credit, is she was like, yeah, I said that. Every all shocked faces, and she's like, yeah, I said that. And, you know, she defends that she didn't marry Gordon for money. In the asides, we have Ashley saying, you know, that Mia's probably jealous because she tried to marry Gordon for money, but it ain't work out, and she's jealous of her. But I think the real true gem of this is the actual deets from Ashley about what they share and what they do not share.
Okay, because I was a little confused because Ashley said they both contribute to the children.
Uh-huh, okay.
She don't have a credit card.
But she got a credit card.
But she got a credit card.
Use. Yeah, but she don't use it. But she got it. But she don't use it.
But she do use it for the food and Uber Eats. And she does have a car in which Michael Darby bought. And she does receive child support.
Child, I was like, girl, get out of here. That's why you ain't going to do it. I mean, and when they do get divorced, you get a lump sum.
So, yeah, I don't know why. I feel like Michael does his part. And I feel like, what's wrong with Ashley being like, my soon-to-be ex-husband does his part. However, I'm a single mother. Like, I don't know. Like,
I just think that he gonna stop doing parts if they get divorced. So that's what I think it is. I mean, like, the parts ain't gonna get parted no more. If they get divorced. So I think that's really, you know, and I think in the last episode, didn't she admit that? She said, you know, there is a little bit of financial security that happens, you know. So I don't know. It wasn't a big shocker. I think old girl was trying to be messy because she had that little piece of tidbit information of what Mia actually said. So she was trying to stir it up again, honey.
Yeah. And then, you know, we get to the conversation where Robin asks Karen, like, if you're so focused on your health, like, why not actually get a trainer that's actually a trainer? Because Vernon is not a trainer. And Karen essentially says, it's her life. She gonna do what she want to do. It's all about her building up to being healthy to then be able to start working out with a trainer. But I feel like on multiple times this episode, Karen has said she wants to work her inner thighs.
She is concentrating on building muscle in her inner thigh region. Best to her. And, you know, the ladies have heard this so many times that it becomes a refrain and a chorus, you know, and I love the spontaneous song. You know, everybody has got the message. She wants to build up. She want to work her inner thighs. Okay, honey.
Okay. Then we get clips of Karen's other trainer who was an attractive man prior. So listen, but I'm mad because if I get a personal trainer, I want my personal trainer to be attractive. I want my
trainer is very attractive, so I do understand.
Yeah, like if I'm gonna have to be getting up at 6 a.m. in the morning, like let it be worth something. So
my husband is my personal trainer. We just you know, had a workout session on Friday. He loves it. I love it. You know, so I'm with Karen. Get you an attractive personal trainer.
So you know, bottom line is Karen wants
to work your inner thighs.
Inner thighs. I'm like, girl, all you got to do is go to Planet Fitness and get on that little thing and just butt.
Look,
listen.
You could get you with one of them 1980s thigh masters.
Right, them little
90s thigh masters. Look, girl, if you want to work on them inner thighs. And I just thought that was just a strange area, like inner thighs, because you want everybody to be like, oh, look at her inner thighs.
Right.
Like, not like it's your biceps or something like that. So, but look, that's why she's the grand dame, because she brings it. I mean, they make a whole song out of, you know, the fact that she wants to work her inner thighs out. And I love it. It's just weird. And I love her for sharing things like that. It's like, you know, also when she talk about controlling the tongue and all that other kind of stuff. So, like,
yes, when she taught the girls how she kissed Ray, I said, oh, listen, but listen, the grand dame is always clocked in. Next week, it looks like Shasha brings back her crab boil. I feel like we had the crab boil season one where Charisse kicked Giselle out of her home. Oh. Or it might have been Monique. It might have been Monique that had the crab boil. But I'm excited to see Shasha, and, you know, we're getting one step closer to the season finale. This has been a very interesting season to cover, say the less. But we will be back next week covering episode 16. This has been your Purple Pants Podcast, Real Housewives of Potomac recap. Bye.
See you later. Bye.
It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. The Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple.